You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Board Gamers Anonymous, the podcast about board gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
And this is episode 468, March Gamer Madness. Popular themes that are not IPs. We'd like to thank all our Patreon backers for helping us bring you a brand new episode. Hey friends, we're back, and it is that time of year. All the madness. But this time, the madness is about board games, because we're a board game podcast.
Yes, yes, it's our own special brand of madness. It is not the other kind of madness, which is legally distinct for all intents and purposes. Don't want to hear about it. This is our madness. We've had it for a while.
We did. Ergo the podcast name. It's been with us quite some time. It's not going anywhere. So we're going to stick with it, play into it, and monetize it, because you know what? It's March Gamer Madness. So as we mentioned last week, we are talking about the IPs. I'm sorry, not the IPs, the against the IPs. We're not playing with the IPs. We're playing with the themes in board gaming that have taken over board gaming from time to time. And we have decided that in the end, there can be only one. Which one? I don't know. We'll find out. That's why you're listening to this episode.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to pit 8 of these themes against each other. We have cats. We have zombies. We have aliens.
Woo!
Robots.
Does not compute, Anthony.
Does not compute. samurai.
Hi.
We have the Western conglomerate. I wrote in knights, but it's just a bunch of stuff. European medieval.
Here.
Yeah. Vikings and
Yar.
And cowboys.
Yeehaw!
There you go. That's an easy one.
There you go.
So we have 8 games from each of these. Each bracket or section of the bracket, region of the bracket, is going to be 2 of them facing off against each other, and we're going to boil it down until we get to just one game representing one popular theme.
Ooh. And in the end, there could be only one ultimate popular theme.
Heck so, yeah.
I mean, we've debated this for quite some time. We've talked about this over many years. There seems to be different waves that come in and out and then back again. And we just wanted to have a little fun trying to figure out which is the best, which one deserves to be on the top of the tops. And, you know, gracing your games, especially when they do reprints. Because when they do reprints, more times than not, they're like, hey, what's the hot thing? Okay, cool. That's the theme for that game. So, yeah, take your abstract and slap paste a theme on it. It might be one of these.
Yep. Right at the moment, cats. In the future, who knows?
It's a lot of fun nonetheless. So you'll be joining with us. And Anthony, before we get on to the fun, a little bit of news on our end. BG Academics, we have a call for proposals.
We do. If you are an academic in the academic space, adjacent to the academic space, a practitioner who uses tabletop games professionally, and all of the above, and you are interested in presenting your research and or writing a paper about it, submit a proposal. We have our call for proposals is open through the second week of April. We'll be reaching out to people and selecting our next wave of submissions for 2024 and 2025 by the end of the month. So check it out. It's on boardgameacademics.com/submissions. And I'm looking forward to reading everybody's submissions.
Absolutely. And on April 6th and 7th, at the Cradle of Aviation in Garden City, New York, we'll be attending a special guest, the Long Island Tabletop, where we'll be running two presentations. One on Level Up Your Teach. So we all know teaching a game is essential to our hobby, and we all have to be ambassadors of the hobby by teaching games to newbies so that we get more people into the hobby, so more people to play games. But there is tricks and tips, and there's better ways to kind of bring people into the hobby and to teach those games. So you'll be joining us in a panel of experts to talk about all of the great things that you can do to get those games to the table, taught properly, and then hopefully get repeat customers. And then on Sunday, we'll be doing Level Up Your Mental Health. So it turns out tabletop gaming is excellent for your mental health in so many different ways, personally, socially, and just brings a big community together. So we'll be talking about how to utilize tabletop games in your own better mental health for yourself, for your partners and friends, and for the community at large. So again, Long Island Tabletop is going to be coming up on April 6th and 7th. We hope that we'll see you there. And we'll also have tables in the tabletop area with our friends Game Master Dave and Ginger. So we're looking forward to meeting you there. All right, everyone. So that's everything that's happened with us. Let's get on to it. Let's hit our bracket, Anthony. What do we have starting off?
All right. Our first region, our first section, our first quarter of this is cats versus zombies.
Yeah, this is a tough one because cats are the newcomers. They clawed their way up to the top, but zombies, they also know how to claw their way out of the grave, Anthony. A lot of clawing going on here.
Both clawing at each other. I would take a cat times 1,000 over a zombie. I'm just saying. Like,
how about
take
cat my zombies? Cat zombies.
Take my cat and zombie like, take care of the zombie. Zombie cat? No.
Zombie cats.
No. You're going to give me nightmares. No good.
You never saw Pet Sematary?
No, because I don't want to see no zombie cats.
don't watch the original one. Don't read the book either by Stephen King. It's zombie cats, man. That's all I'm saying.
No, thank you. So let's kick it off here. We have each of these matchups is going to be a cat game versus a zombie game. We have 8 of these. So first up, we have the number one seed in this section. Seeds are based on the ranking on Board Game Geek, sometimes adjusted a little bit by us to fit the matchups, but this is by far the highest rated of these 16, and that is the Isle of Cats, number one, versus number 16, Run, Fight, or Die. So,
wow.
Yes, in Isle of Cats, you are rescuing cats from an island on which they all live, and you have to fit them on your ship. So it is a drafting game in which you take these little meeples, or you take the tiles, and you place them on your ship in a polyominoes type layout. And then you have these various cards that allow you to do that as well as score in different ways. There are many, many, many different ways to play this game, even just out of the main box, but with multiple expansions. There's a roll and write version of it. There's like a lighter family version of it. There's even a new like Race to the Raft, which is kind of a cooperative experience. But at the end of the day, you've got cat polyominoes. That's what you're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Run, Fight, or Die, which is a Richard Lanius game, which is all about running and fighting or dying.
To whom? To zombies. There you go.
Yeah. No, there's some zombies. It's a dice rolling pusher like the type of game. So you're rolling dice, you're locking them in, but it's more than like zombie dice. There's other things going on. You've got like miniatures on different boards. They're moving around, interacting with the zombies that are chasing you. It's I almost said cute. That's not the right word for any zombie game, but it's quick. I guess is the best way to put that. It's small and accessible and quick. Doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun, especially when it comes to a zombie game.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so on my end, we all know the answer to this. It is the Isle of Cats. I love me some cats in this game. I have a love-hate relationship with actual cats, but in this game, they're cute. They're like little fantasy cats, and I really like the combination of, well, there's a ton of artwork, but just the combination of like the different jokes and visuals on the cards with the mechanics.
Well, Anthony, I'm going to go with my man. You know he's my man. It's Richard Lanius. And if he wants to run, fight, or die with zombies, I'm with him. So I'm going with the zombie game.
All right. So as we do every year, and if you participated in our contest, thank you for being part of that. You are up for a chance to win a game. So we're going to go to the contest entries to break the tie. And our wonderful software here tells me exactly how many votes there were. There were zero votes for Run, Fight, or Die.
Oh, no. It's not. It's a decent game, people. You should play it. Seriously.
Yeah. So 100% of the voters said Isle of Cats.
Oh, man. The cats are getting in your brains, people.
Yeah, probably. But...
All right,
it's a good game versus a mediocre zombie game. I mean, come on.
It's Richard Lanius, man. Come on.
He's got a lot of mediocre games.
No, they're all good.
No, they're not.
Cats, on the other hand, are suspicious, to say the least.
True.
At least you know where you stand with a zombie. All right, so Isle of Cats moves on to the next round.
All right, next up, we have Zombie Kids Evolution. This is a Legacy-style zombie game for kids, in which you have kind of the small board and these various standees that are fighting off a horde of zombies. Comes with a bunch of little envelopes and stickers, and I can say from personal experience that my daughter loves it. The games are like 15 minutes long, so you can sit and play three or four in a row and just knock out and unlock a bunch of stuff, which I think is kind of ideal for a legacy game, to be able to unlock stuff quickly. And it's just like a very classic zombie experience. Just horde after horde after horde. Up against Boop. Number nine. The Boop. So this is a recent release from Smirk and... I think it's under their Laughter. Smirk and Dagger, Smirk and Laughter. Who knows? Designed by Scott Brady. And in it, you have cats trying to knock each other off of a bed. That is it. It's cute. Very popular little abstract game, little cat meeples.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several versions of it now as well, with the Boop and Boop the Halls. So what do you think?
Both of these are very good, and both of these take what is generally kind of like pretty basic stuff and really put a nice twist on this. I got to play Boop, not the original Boop, but the Boop with the ghost cats. And it's a lot of cuteness. So I'm going to go Boop, or Boop, as, you know, most people call it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I like Zombie Kids and Zombie Teens as well, which is the sequel to that. But they are, you know, it's legacy experience. Kind of, it's not one and done, because there's like a million games in the box, but it's also fairly simple, right? It's less about the zombies and more about what the kids can do, because it is a kids game. So I'm going to go with Boop as well.
All right. Well, Boop moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have number 5, Cat in the Box Deluxe Edition. versus number 12, Hit Z Road. Mm. So Cat in the Box is a trick-taking game out of Japan by designer Munoyuki Yokuchi, in which there are no suits. You choose the suit when you play the cards, and then there's a whole like paradox mechanism based on when you play and what you can and cannot play. It's a bit of a brain burner. It takes some time to figure out. The cat really has nothing to do with the mechanics, but is
yes.
On every card, there is a black cat. And then they made the giant version with a giant black cat. So it's more like the mascot of the game than anything else. Hit Z Road is a Martin Wallace game from 2016, in which you are taking a road trip down Route 66 and dealing with some zombies because reasons. So you decided to go on a road trip from Chicago down to the Southwest, and there are zombies in the way. So you have to deal with this random deck of adventure cards, dealing with different zombies. There's some very cool artwork here. It's kind of reminiscent of like old 50s nostalgia. And it's a little bit of a dice chucker as well. I don't know why everybody wants dice chucking in their zombie games. All three of them so far are dice chuckers, but it's one of the more interesting ones thematically. I almost said mechanically, but thematically.
Yeah. Well, I, again, makes a lot of sense. Two good games. The cat, as you mentioned, Anthony, the cat theme is a little thin in Cat in the Box, because other than the fact that cats are pretty tricky, and obviously you don't know whether they're in the box or out of the box or what's going on inside the box, obviously. The one that I did enjoy a lot more and got a lot more fun at was Cat in the Box, the deluxe edition.
Yeah, me too. The cat adds a lot, even though it's not really like part of the mechanics of what you're doing, but it creates something out of what could just be a mathematical experience. It feels like a thing. So, and you know, it's a fun joke on Schrodinger's cat. So
yes. And again, there cannot be enough jokes about that. Cause yeah, poor cat. Yeah.
Physics jokes are funny.
They are. It's next level, man. You wouldn't understand it. It's both, you know, funny and not at the same time.
Exactly.
That's right.
That poor cat.
All right. So Cat in the Box Deluxe Edition moves on to next round.
All right. So next up, we have a very interesting matchup. And I say interesting, I mean, like, it's weird. number 4, Zombicide Black Plague. And you might say, why Black Plague? Well, it's because it's the Zombicide I like the most, and I made the list. So there you go. There are 16 different Zombicide releases. Pick your poison. I think this is the best one. So here you go. It's medieval fantasy with zombies. I think once they went medieval, really once they got out of like modern day whatever tropes with like season 6 or 7 or whatever they were on.
Sure.
I found that the whole system a lot more interesting. So it's Zombicide. You're running around. You have 6 different characters fighting off hordes of zombies. There's a lot of other mechanics to get in there as well. But that's basically it. Versus number 13, Nekojima, which we just played a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's true.
It is a dexterity game in which you are placing these different poles with electrical wires connecting them. And then periodically you have to hang cats from the electrical wires or place little cat meeples on top of the electrical poles to block other people from doing it. Like any dexterity game, when they all fall down, you lose. So very, very different games.
Yeah, and you have to admit this time, Anthony, the cats are jerks.
Cats are jerks in this game. Jerks.
Yeah.
When you pull one of the little black the cubes, it's not good.
No, you're like, damn it, it's a cat. Why? Yeah, and then placing them on the power lines, because I don't know why, but that's a thing, supposedly, obviously. Oof. Yeah, I don't know. Again, Nekojima was one of the games where I really felt the tension, because I guess cats are really unpredictable and problematic. But Zombie Black Plague, I guess as representative of all the zombies, is obviously one of, if not the best, zombie side. So, I guess Zombicide Black Plague.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I almost want to go with Nekojima because I'm like, this is the game where the cats are jerks. Like, this is cats. This
it's more cats true are. To the catness.
Yeah. But it is like, it's Zombicide. I feel like if they didn't do this, if it was just Zombicide, I'd be like, cool, knock them out. But Black Plague's pretty good, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I think Zombicide over the years, like, there's certainly been an evolution. We played the first way back in the day, and but obviously it really, especially this version, right, has made it into like a real game.
Right.
All right. So Zombicide Black Plague Edition moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have number 6, Dawn of the Zeds. This is designed by Herman Lutman and published by Victory Point Games. And if you've never heard of this, it's because it is primarily played as a one-player experience. It plays 1 to 5. It does do that, but it's also just, if you go to the top solo games, which gets run every year on Board Game Geek, it's like number 4 or 5. People love this game, and it is all things zombies, right? It's got like that Dawn of the Dead vibe to it, visually speaking, and just like a lot of different ways to engage with that in admittedly a pretty fun experience. Like, it's not the dice chucker that we're dealing with a lot of these, right? All mm-hmm. the other ones so far, you're throwing dice. This one is like card based and map based, and there's a lot more of a puzzle to it as you try to survive. Mm-hmm. That makes it more interesting. So it is a very solid game that happens to have a zombie theme to it.
Sure.
Up against kind of the opposite, number 11, Exploding Kittens, which is barely a game. So it's basically Russian roulette with stupid cat jokes on the cards. And that is about all I can say about it.
Wow. Soon to get its own Netflix special coming up for some reason.
Why?
And all the money it made on Kickstarter. Remember all those years ago?
It did. It made a lot of money. I cannot ignore that. We have received 3 copies of this for the kids for various birthdays over the years. They all go into a box somewhere.
Oh my God. And then are they packed away by important men and placed into a place with other boxes and crates of things to never be?
I wish, man. I don't know where they are. They're probably in the basement somewhere. But Exploding Kittens. It's Exploding Kittens. There's cats. I like the drawings because it's from the Oatmeal Guy, but it's Exploding Kittens.
Yeah, the artwork is very good. The game itself is... What I would say about the game itself is the artwork is very good. That's what I would say about the game.
Yeah. I'll jump in here, and maybe we're on the same page when we're not, but I think Dawn of the Zeds is actually a brilliant game.
Yes.
It's also an extremely good interpretation of the early zombie movies that made all of this possible. Exploding Kittens is significantly more popular, but I don't think it's very good or fun.
Absolutely. So, yes, that means Dawn of the Zeds moves on to the next round.
All right. Okay, next up we have number 3, Calico, which is a abstract game in which you are placing quilt tiles onto this board. You fill it up and you're trying to match various different patterns. As you match various different patterns, cats will come and fall asleep on your quilt. So that's why it's called Calico. If you play the digital version, there are cats everywhere. They are in your way. They are blocking the visuals. You can't see where you're clicking all the time. I'm not a fan of that, but there are cats everywhere.
There's kind of a cat cult on top of that.
The weird game. So it's, you're sewing a quilt and the cat sleeps on it. It's very cute. On the flip side, we have number 14, City of Horror, which re-implements Mall of Horror and later re-implemented by Lockdown. But basically, you have a big sprawling player elimination type of game. It's a survival horror game, but you can kind of stab each other in the back. So if you take the mean part of Dead of Winter and that's just the whole game, that's what this is. Except I think this came out before that. So this is just someone being like, yeah, how would you survive the zombie apocalypse? Like, I'd throw my friend under the bus. It's that the game.
That's funny.
Like, so I know several people who love this. I do not. I don't like it at all, but it is true to the theme.
It is true to the theme. Although I will say that Calico is one of the cat games that I do like a lot. even though it has a cat cult and a war going on for some particular reason. But it's quite a good game, and the cats are nicely integrated in what is generally a basic abstract.
Yeah, I love Calico. It's one of my favorites, so that's an easy one for me.
All right, Calico moves on to the next round.
All right, next up we have number 7, Cat Lady, designed by Josh Wood, art by Josh Wood. And Josh Wood does a lot of stuff for AEG, so we have Cat Lady, we have Let's Go to Japan, Santa Monica. This is the one that I think they became big for. And it is your Cat Ladies.
Yeah.
You have all these different cat cards, and you're trying to basically draft them, build up the most lovable collection of cats to be a lady of. So it's like a tableau builder type of thing. That is going up against number 10, Tiny Epic Zombies, which is, I don't know, what is this, number 6 or 7 in the line of Tiny Epic games?
It doesn't end.
Yeah. So it's a cooperative game.
Mm-hmm.
But also has a competitive mode, free-for-all mode.
Yeah.
Also, there's a solo mode. So it has 5 different modes, so you know it's a good game. very well balanced.
The meeples are cute.
Yeah, the meeples are cute. I love the little zombie meeples. It takes place at a mall, because if you're going to do stereotypical zombie, you got to do it in a mall.
Typically in Pittsburgh, too, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. No, I knew a couple people back in Pittsburgh who were in one of those movies.
Ah, nice.
So... much older than me, obviously. But
fair, they weren't, and then they became undead. So yeah, I guess. Oh,
true. I guess we're the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's zombies in a mall, and it's Tiny Epic, which, you know, it's hit or miss. This is actually one of the better ones, I think, of the last few years. Mm-hmm. It's not great. None of them are great. There's a couple that are great. Most of them are fine. So it's an interesting matchup here, because both of these games are like solid sevens. I don't know which way I would lean on this.
Yeah, I would say the Tiny Epic stuff, as you said, they range from like a 5 to 7, depending on the game that came out. This one, and usually visual appeal is really what kind of, you know, pushes it over a little bit more. But typically, they're not tiny. Epic, I guess, is up for debate, so to speak. But it's also something that I've seen and played before with better stuff. So it needed to be a little more tiny to be a little more epic for my taste. And surprisingly, Cat Lady. I don't know how they do it, but it's a decent little game. And it's a tableau builder, and it's all about everything having to do with cats. So... when I think cats, I think cat ladies. And you too, Anthony. And also cat guys. So, yeah. Cat lady.
Cat lady. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think... yeah, I just really don't like the Tiny Epic games. So, let's go with Cat Lady.
There you go. Cat Lady moves on to the next round.
I think we're agreeing too much here.
Well, you know, it's a thing.
Gotta get on that. Number 2, this is the last matchup in this section. Number 2, Dead of Winter, a Crossroads game. You knew it was on here. We just had to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the zombie game, or at least it was when it first came out. Like, sure. This was the hottest game in the world for like 3 or 4 years. I haven't really seen or heard as much about it of late, but I know it's still very popular, just based on the number of plays on BoardGameGeek. It is a semi-cooperative game in which you are all trying to survive the zombie apocalypse, but there's the Crossroads system, which can result in somebody having a different win objective than you and becoming kind of the traitor amongst the group. But you never really know if that's going to happen or who it might be. Very interesting experience. It definitely evokes the emotion and kind of anxiety of a zombie experience in a way that a lot of these games don't. Because again, they're all just dice. And that's going up against number 15, Heir to the Pharaoh, by Alf Siegert from Eagle Griffin Games. And it is a game in which the Pharaoh decides that he's going to alter the lines of succession and put a cat up for the next Pharaoh, because he doesn't like his kids very much.
Nice.
So
makes sense.
Cats, of course, being sacred in ancient Egypt. So you will have to deal with that. So it is a 2-player only game. You play as Bast and Anubis, each vying for the Pharaoh's attention and affection. It's a cute, fun, little, mostly abstract type of game, but I love the theme of it, where you're like these ancient Egyptian cats trying to make the Pharaoh the happiest. The cat stuff is, it could have been anything, but I do like that they went with it.
Sure. Yeah, it's nice to see Eagle Griffin does a great production. The cats and the pieces are really nicely done. The difference is, I think for me, Dead of Winter, the Crossroads system is great here. And zombies, I don't tend to be a fan of zombie games, but the zombies really play into the atmosphere of the game, and it lets you focus on the characters and their decisions. So I think it succeeds on what for me personally is the zombie aesthetic, which is this, the world has literally kind of somewhat ended, and this is an apocalypse, right? This is an apocalypse world, and this is what it's done to the people. And again, there's a lot of symbolism and metaphors and so forth and so on, but you really do feel like the people in that game dealing with the zombie horde. And in a more realistic way. Again, a lot of the games are, you know, run around shooting or hack and slash things. I think it does a very good job. It's kind of a super upgrade for, you know, from Zombie Kids to this. Right. So I played it a lot, enjoyed it a lot. So that's going to be my vote. Dead of Winter, a Crosswords game.
Yeah, I think it has to be. Like, it's just a legitimate great game. I don't like a lot of zombie games. This is one that I would happily play every time.
All right, that means Dead of Winter, a Crossroads game, moves on to the next round.
All right, so that moves us on to the next group of games, which is Aliens versus Robots.
Ooh, that's not going to end well.
No. Hey, at least we're not in it.
I know, right?
Y'all have fun with each other. So these are, again, games primarily featuring aliens versus games primarily featuring robots. Now, to varying degrees, because there aren't as many of these directly as we would like. So first up, we have number one, again, the highest rated game on Board Game Geek, Nemesis, which is basically Alien, the movie Alien, as a board game.
Legally distinct.
Legally distinct, of course. And it's Awakened Realms, so there's like 4 million cards and miniatures and stuff everywhere, and I have not actually played this game. I've kind of just hovered and watched it, but it's survival horror sci-fi game.
Yeah.
Right. So good stuff. Versus number 16, Mechanica. So this is designed by a trio of people, including Mary Flanagan, who's kind of a well-known speaker in the board game space. And it is about building a robot factory. They have all these different interlocking puzzle pieces. It's kind of this interactive experience, and you're building a factory to generate robots. Got a kind of a cool like puzzle piece layout as you build up your own infrastructure, shipping the robots to the trucks. So very, very much in the automata realm of things. So very different games here.
Very much. Like complete opposite game aesthetics and play.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's hard. I think Nemesis, obviously a lot of people really love this game. It's big, it's sprawling, it evokes all those feelings that you want from that. Mechanica's cute and again very accessible and interesting in what it's doing. I don't know which way I would lean here.
Well, the gameplay Mechanica is probably more of our jam, so to speak. Nemesis does a good job as far as, like we said, like evoking that kind of alien slash doom kind of aesthetic and trying to deal with the people on the map, as again, like we talked about the zombicide kind of world where it's just hacking, slashing, and shooting. But also with Nemesis, it's technically semi-cooperative, so you have to complete objectives and such, and that does certainly play into the whole Crossroads systems from Dead of Winter. So for that element, that it went a step forward more than just shooty, 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 bang, bang kind of stuff. I'm going to go with Nemesis.
All right. I think I'll go with Mechanica. I really do like the little...
Sure.
The robots, by the way, are called Tidybots.
Aww. So
You're trying to make the world a cleaner place. So if we go over to the listeners and followers, we see that Nemesis won with 92% of the vote. So. Not surprising.
But... That's all right. Most of those people were voting for Nemesis because they were taken over by the aliens. So,
oh, yeah. Already been taken over.
Yep.
All right. So moving on to number 8 versus number 9, we have Black Angel at number 8. This is the space version of Toa, effectively, in which you are on this intergalactic ship that is comprised of only robots. The crew is all robots. So everything that gets done here is moving robots from one location to another. Those are your workers, and you send them out to do things. You put them in places, they take actions, and the actions you take are kind of reminiscent of what a robot would need to do in terms of like the amount of time it takes and where they come back and what you can automate and what you can't automate. So it's a very interesting mechanic that you really kind of have to wrap your brain around to be able to play the game well. Like, if you don't get into the mindset of these are all robots, then it's really difficult to you're thinking worker, but they're not that type of worker. Versus number 9, and you'll notice that we dropped this down to number 9, largely because it's not primarily like a game about aliens, but you are all playing aliens, and that's Twilight Imperium 4th edition. So it is the big, epic, sprawling space opera of a game. And there are 17 unique alien races. I guess 16 unique alien races, and then there's humans, which bleh, boring, or Terrans, whatever they're called. And they're all very asymmetrical and have very interesting elements to them that makes them stand out. So we don't need to get into the mechanics of Twilight Imperium, just that part of it alone, like drafting your race, is always a blast.
Gotcha. Yeah, Black Angel has been kind of a challenge as far to play. I think you make a lot of sense as far as how to approach the game. It's a good heavy Euro game. There's a lot to love there. But Twilight Imperium 4 is Twilight Imperium 4.
Sorry. Yeah, and it's it's not the best alien game, I don't think. But at the same time, it is of these two, the more interesting in terms of the decisions you're making.
Absolutely. All right, so Twilight Imperium 4 moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up we have another game based on the Alien film franchise, except it's actually based on the Alien film franchise. Number 5, Legendary Encounters, an alien deck building game. For my money, the best of the Legendary Encounters deck building games. Alien is very thematic. It's interesting. You have like the facehuggers going into and out of the decks. It's fully cooperative. The artwork is actually very good. This is back when they spent money on this stuff. And it really just, it kind of walks you through like this franchise in a very interesting way. Number 12 is a bit of a niche game, but it's actually very interesting, and it's kind of stood out at all the conventions for years. This was always the one that we gravitate towards. GKR Heavy Hitters. So you are playing as like giant mechs in this big cardboard city, and you are fighting it out because it is a combat sport, right? There's no aliens you're facing. You were just robots punching each other. It's a lot of fun. I don't want to say mindless fun, because there's a decent amount of complexity here, and the game is actually longer than you think it'd be for what it is.
Sure.
The box is enormous. It was very expensive. I know they struggled to sell this because of all those things. But like Weta Workshop was involved in this, so the designs are just legit very cool.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. I'll just throw my hat in there for GKR. I love this game. As a giant robot game, it's like everything I could want.
And for some reason, Rock'em Sock'em Robots didn't make it into the bracket. I don't know why, but...
That's true.
It had some legitimacy. I'm going to go for Legendary Encounters Alien, just because I think it's hands down the best legendary system out there. And I think the idea of being taken over by the alien and playing in that role is such a twist to the game. I think it adds a lot. And I think, again, as you mentioned, this was one of the times where they didn't run out of money during the production. They actually came up with new mechanics, came out with an interesting design, and it really is Alien or Aliens.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so if we hop on over to our list, see what people voted for. Hey, they all agree with you.
Yay!
Probably no one's heard of GKR.
Aw, I see it every
96%,
time.
96%. 96% for Legendary Encounters.
All right, Legendary Encounters Alien moves on to the next round.
All right. A couple fun ones coming up here. We got Baseball Highlights 2045 at number 4. It's a baseball game, but hey, guess what? Half of them are robots.
What?
Or cyborgs or androids or whatever they call them. So that's fun. Just it's like weird and random, but it's fun. versus number 13, The Thing, Infection at Outpost 31,
mm-hmm.
is based on The Thing, right?
Which is probably one of the best, if not the best, alien movie of all time.
It is definitely up there. And especially like the horror genre. Like,
oh my
there's
God.
Alien. There's Alien and there's The Thing. Like, it's those two.
It's crazy good. If you haven't seen it, you should, but see the original. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. The remake's not.
No.
No, don't do that. Yeah, no. You want the John Carpenter original.
Yeah. It's true.
So, couple odd ones here. I mean, The Thing, I've the game does a very good job of representing that theme, but it's also difficult to
sure.
do that theme well. Baseball Highlights is just really weird, and I love how weird it is. It's like the weirdest thing. And it's a good baseball game, of which there are very few.
Yes.
And it's fun just to like build out your little team of all these robots and like the three naturals who somehow can still play baseball in a league full of robots. So
it's true.
It's a blast.
Yeah, both good games, both kind of really implement the theme well. Obviously, Aliens, I think, does a better job because it is following the movie. We reviewed this way back in the day. I think we reviewed Baseball Highlights 2045 as well.
Yeah.
It's hard because I think Alien does a little bit more, but I think Baseball Highlights is a better game. And I think they need to take another shot at The Thing. And again, they've had other games like this, but it's a hard one for sure. Yeah, I'm going to go with Baseball Highlights 2045. I think it's just a lot more fun to play. It's not as heavily themed, you know, mechanically, gameplay-wise, but it is certainly like, it makes sense, right, that you would have robots and that they do play differently than the human natural athletes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love Baseball Highlights 2045. I love The Thing as well, but I will just watch the movie. I really need that.
That's true. All right, Baseball Highlights 2045 moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have number 6, Aquasphere.
Oh.
One of Stefan Feld's weirdest games, in a good way. Very yes. much in a good way. You are playing as people. There's programmers, engineers, scientists in this underwater facility, but you have to reprogram these bots to move around and take these various actions. So kind of similar to Black Angel thematically, but definitely not mechanically. And there's a lot of interesting decisions you have to make here in terms of where you send them and how you kind of maneuver and manipulate around the board. Up against number 11, On Mars Alien Invasion. Now, this is an expansion, I'm well aware, but it's one of the more robust expansions out there because it's from Vital Lacerda. And it is you taking On Mars, which is just a straight hard sci-fi game, and throwing in aliens, like legit Martians. And there's some crazy, ridiculous, fun things that happen as a result in the four modules that he gives you. So it's one of the better. Well, it's one of the best expansions, period. But especially for one of his games.
100%. Yeah. I think if you add the expansion, it's On Mars, Alien Invasion. Yeah. If you don't, then it's Aquasphere.
Yeah, well, this is for the expansion only.
Yeah.
So,
well, you have to have the base game with that, too.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're only considering the expansion for this. Because otherwise, we're the aliens.
It's true. But they have robots. So it's kind of,
oh, yeah,
they have robots on the planet. See, we did. It has both.
That's true. Well, then it definitely wins.
It definitely wins. It has both things.
Yeah.
Because you have to send the robots to the planet to do the things. And then it turns out spoiler, aliens? There's aliens.
Yeah. Love it. So good.
All right. So on Mars, alien invasion moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have Cosmic Encounter at number 3, which is literally just a box of aliens that do random things. The game plays itself, whatever. versus number 14, Quirky Circuits, in which you are programming little robot things, vacuum cleaners and cleaner robots and dogs, to run around and clean up this house. Very cute, very fun game. Great for families. So for me on this one, I'll go first. I don't actually love Cosmic Encounter as a game. I've had too many experiences where the game just kind of fizzles out into nothing.
No.
Or I don't get to take a turn. I'm like, cool, look at my alien. I didn't get to take a turn because this game is stupid like that.
Yeah.
It's fine if it happens occasionally. It happens a lot. I'd say like half the games just turn into some crazy nonsense. which I know is why people love it, but it's not for me.
I did play a game of it once, and I never played my turn because someone won before it got around the full table. So yes,
that's ridiculous.
That is the thing that happens in that game.
But the reason I would vote for this one here is that there's like 75 or 80 alien races that all have different powers and all do different things and all have different artwork. And that alone is like enough to bring me to the table for the game. So just the variety. It's not like, oh, Twilight Imperium has 17. Cosmic Encounter has like dozens of different aliens. That's all the game is aliens in a box.
It's true.
So love it.
Yeah. It's a rough one because both do such a good job, but Cosmic Encounter really does lean into the concept of what would alien civilizations really be like and how would they operate as far as their special abilities concerned. And again, if like you said, if there was like 4 or 5 aliens you had to choose from, okay, that's not a big accomplishment. But the number of aliens here is immense. And again, yeah, it could mean that like some alien does a thing that kind of, you know, makes them win the game, but thematically it fits really well. So yes, 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 yes. Cosmic Encounter moves on to the next round.
All right. Alrighty, so next up we have number 7, XCOM the Board Game, which is a analog implementation of the video game XCOM, in which you play members of this elite organization that has to defend Earth from an alien invasion. So the thing about this one, though, that was very controversial is that it runs off of an app. It's real time. Had some very interesting, fun, cool things that it did, but I don't really like real-time games. So it never really stuck for me. And then Burn Cycle on the other side, this one is from Chip Theory Games. It's one of their big giant boxes. It has some very cool artwork in it, in which you are playing the leader of a team of robots who are trying to take down corporations who are subjugating AI. So you're like counter-revolutionary robots.
Awesome.
Super cool.
Yeah.
It's just a very cool theme. I've looked at this game several times and been like, I love everything it says it's doing. I don't know if I'll love the actual mechanics of the experience enough to go in on like a $200 game.
It's a big price tag. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very expensive, but I love like the orange aesthetic. It's very cool.
Very cool.
Just like, it's a fun thing. So on vibes alone, I'm voting for Burn Cycle because I think it just does everything I would want. And it's just a cool thing. Anything that's future where it's just like, let's all take down the corporations because they're terrible. And also you're a robot. I'm like, yes. I love
that. Yeah. Again, I mean, XCOM does a very good job, but I've seen and played a lot of that kind of hidden movement mechanic kind of, you know, app-based AI kind of stuff. And it gets kind of boring very quickly. Burn Cycle, on the other hand, is very cool. And the AI aspect of the game is a lot of fun. So I'm going to go Burn Cycle as well.
All right.
So that means Burn Cycle moves on to the next round.
All right. Number 2, Robo Rally. The classic from Richard Garfield and Michael Davis, where you program these robots and they run around these little courses. Versus... Number 15, Alien Frontiers. from Tori Neiman. And this is a game about being a deep space colonist and going out into the world, finding alien life, building a fleet, settling colonies. It's one of the like defining worker placement games going back to like 2010.
Yeah.
And also had those very cool little dice with some of the upgraded editions of the game.
Yeah, this is one of the first major Kickstarters back in the day.
Yeah.
Both good games. I actually am a big fan of Alien Frontiers. I own a copy, played a copy, love the copy. I want to vote for the copy. I've played Robo Rally a lot, and I always appreciate it when you see at the conventions and people actually put a gigantic version of that down.
Mm-hmm.
The programming for the game makes a lot of sense. It's just so smart, right? If you're going to have robots, you're going to have pre-programming. They move around, they do things. You're trying to get to your destination, stuff like that. I don't find that as much fun because it's programming. And then I think I've played it a couple times where I'm like, let's try random. And it works just as well because, again, you can't you can't possibly manage all the different things that are happening out there on the board. So, yeah. I don't know. It should be Robo Rally, but I'm voting for Alien Frontiers because I think I like the game better. It's just there's very little alien in it, but it's a better game.
Yeah, it's fair. I haven't really spent a lot of time with Alien Frontiers. Robo Rally is very creative and clever. I'm gonna vote for Robo Rally.
All right, so that leaves it up to the fans out there, Anthony. What do they have to say?
All right, so the fan this one was very close for a 2-15. The fans picked 55% for Robo Rally.
Boo. I mean, it makes sense, but boo. I get it, but boo. All right. So Robo Rally moves on to the next round. But to be fair, it was programmed that way, so we couldn't do anything.
It was always going to move on.
Yeah, that's what it does.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, next up, we have this next grouping of games is Samurai Games, just Samurai, Medieval Japan, mm-hmm. versus Medieval Europe. So I guess we can put it that way, Medieval Japan versus Medieval Europe. So first up, the number one seed is Samurai.
Oh!
It's the classic Reiner Knizia abstract game, in which you are moving little pieces around kind of an abstract-y tile hex map of Japan. Versus number 16, The Duke, which is also an abstract game. Yes, I did this on purpose.
damn it!
in which you're playing, it's basically the chess-like pieces where you have like bishops and knights and various things on these tiles that flip over whenever you take an action. So each side will tell you what it can do, then you flip it. So it is chess-like, but also very difficult to keep track of where you're going. Which abstract does it better, Samurai or The Duke?
They're both pretty damn abstract, Anthony. I'll have you know.
Yeah.
I have both of them. I really like both of them. And all right, I'm gonna say Samurai because I just feel like out of the battle of the abstracts, Samurai is more true thematically to the game, at least art-wise, than what, again, was one of my favorite games of all time, The Duke.
I think is exactly what I would say. Like, I love The Duke. I play it more, but yes. Samurai is more a representation of medieval Japan.
And it's a good representation, too, so
yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, so that means Samurai moves on to the next round.
All right, next up, number 8, Lancaster from Matthias Kramer versus number 9, Samurai Spirit. I feel like this is like, I feel like you could just dunk on this.
Oh, I could spend all day dunking on this. I don't, yeah. How much longer do we have on this episode?
Well, I don't know, man, how much do we want to go?
all right. We've reviewed both of these. We've reviewed all these games at some point or the other. And one game is one of the more or less best games of this type because it does thematically does so many things right. And it has some really interesting gameplay. And the other one, Samurai Spirit.
Yeah.
It's kind of broke and it doesn't really work. And it, I don't know how much time do we have left. So Lancaster for me.
Yeah, me too. Like, I always wanted to like Samurai Spirit. Antoine Bauza, cool artwork, fun theme.
Yeah.
It's no good. I don't know how it's this high ranking.
I got it way back, like, first run, and I was like, designer? Awesome. Artwork? Fantastic. You know, quick gameplay? Down for it. And nope. Not so much.
Yeah.
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no good.
Lancaster!
Yeah, and we should say Lancaster is a very interesting good game. We kind of skipped over this, but it's about the unification of England, mm-hmm. and it's like these, you're maneuvering knights around to build influence, and it has this big map of England. It's cool. It's a very cool game.
And you also get to do a lot of interesting, you know, conceptual things where, like, you're building a castle, and you're putting the different parts of the castle together, giving you special abilities and stuff, too, and it's really fun, intense, and I like it a lot, and it really deserves a reprint. And Matthias Kramer is a genius, so take it somewhere other than Queen. I'm just saying. Take it somewhere that they can do, like, super fun version of it, because it's very
good. That'll be cool.
Yes.
All right, next matchup, we have another game from Queen.
Oh, no!
Shogun, which is actually on Kickstarter right now, just for reprints.
Yes. Very good
Shogun game. Is mm-hmm. a re-implementation of Wallenstein in the sense that it has the cube tower.
Right? Yes.
There's the three versions from Queen with the cube tower, Wallenstein, Shogun, and Immortals. They all do slightly different things. But it's basically an area control game over the map of Japan. It's very good. It's a lot of fun. It takes place in the Warring States period, so like 15th, 16th century or so. And you're trying to become the Shogun. Right. Versus number 12, and honestly, I feel like I would vote for Shogun over almost anything else in this bracket, but this is how it all fell down.
Mm-hmm.
Shadows over Camelot, which is obviously a little more fantastical version of medieval Europe, but yes. Most things are, which is a cooperative / semi-cooperative deduction-based game based on the Round Table and the Knights of King Arthur and trying to find the Holy Grail and all that good stuff. Brilliant game, been out of print forever, but which is a shame. I wish someone would pick this up.
Both games are great. I mean, both games are legitimately great. And I can't fault anybody for going for either one because they're both great. And yeah, Shogun's out there. And even the it's on streaming too. They redid Shogun, at least the original TV play.
Oh, yeah.
Shadows of Camelot. It's Shadows of Camelot. It's a hidden traitor mechanic done in one of the better ways or one of the best ways, at least on the early versions of it. And then, like you said, it's King Arthur's Camelot. Gameplay is a little more simplified, but again, it allows you to play out the other aspects of the game more dynamically. So, I don't know, Anthony, what are you going for here? Because I could go either way. Could flip all the coins.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to go for Shogun. I thought I was going to do Camelot, but I'm going to go with Shogun because it's just The mechanics match the theme so well, and it's, I wish, again, like you said with Lancaster, I wish it wasn't Queen Games, because what they say the MSRP is on this thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that, but it is a great, great game. It's my, it's up there with Alhambra for me, with for like Dirk Hen games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going with Shogun.
Yeah. I don't know.
Gotta pick one, man.
Ah, no. I like these games. I don't want the games to go away, Anthony. They're both wonderful and they're fanciful. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Shadows Over Camelot. I agree with what you're saying about Shogun, and it's such a good game. I think Shadows of Camelot does well by the Camelot story, the Arthurian legend here. The trailer mechanic is great. The production is stellar, and it was, you know, Days of Wonder back in the day when Days of Wonder was Days of Wonder. So,
all right. So we go to the voters, and the voters say 65% for Shadows Over Camelot.
All right. Shadows of Camelot moves on to the next round. Big upset there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a classic. Worthy. All right. Next up, we have number 4, Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon. So another, this is like even more kind of divergent from what we're getting. We got Arthurian legends and Celtic mythology kind of put into a blender,
mm-hmm.
and see what we get out of it. Up against number 13, Senjutsu Battle for Japan,
mm-hmm.
Which is a relatively recent game, but it's a samurai dueling game with kind of a, you've got miniatures, but it's also card based deck construction where you're building up these decks to go up against each other. So it's plays 1-4, but it's generally considered better at 2. What do you think? Big bloated box of stuff from Awakened Realms?
It's one way to put it.
Yeah, people love these games, and I honestly haven't played this one, so I can't say it's bad. It's one, like, I eyeballed it forever. I know what it's about. I thought the theme was very interesting, but it's just like that amount of boxes. I was like, don't have space for it. But you know, it's fun to call it bloated.
Yes, it's definitely the, yeah, because it's bloated with love. Because
bloated with love. I love that. Yeah,
yeah. That's good. Again, both very good games, both really nice miniature games. One is epic in scale, one is obviously streamlined down to a, you know, fine point. I'm gonna go Senju here, Anthony. I think it just, as far as, since both games are great, I'm gonna go down with gameplay mechanics here, and just, I want the essential experience, and I think you do get this here.
Yeah, it's Senjutsu for me, for sure. Yeah, like, it's, again, the streamlining is huge. It's mm-hmm. an affordable game. You get it for like $45. You get some very cool looking miniatures. There's like a cherry tree standee.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. Very cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, people should check it out if they haven't yet. All right, Senjutsu, Battle for Japan moves on to the next round.
All right, next up we have number 6, The Resistance Avalon. Or the Avalon Big Box, I guess is what you can get now, mm-hmm. the new art, versus number 11, Ikusa. So, Avalon, classically, it's the Resistance, it's Avalon, it's whatever. It's a hidden role. It's a hidden trader game, hidden loyalty game.
Yeah, social deduction. Social deduction game. Yeah, Merlin's in there too.
Right, so you have 23 different characters representing some general roles, but also like specific people. Like you got your Lancelots and your Excalibur and your sorcerers. Versus Ikusa, which is an old game from 1986, has also gone by names such as Samurai Swords and Shogun. It was mass-produced at one point by Milton Bradley. It's like a bunch of cheap plastic running around on the map, playing through Shogunate Japan. So you've got a big map of stuff. You've got a bunch of different people. It's like a Risk-like type of approach, but much more narrow scope. This is old school. This is old.
I'm going to go old school, Anthony. I think the production here, even though it is old school, even though it's back in the day, that kind of cheap plastic throwback, I think it certainly does feel thematically what you're playing. Whereas the Avalon side is good. I love the fact that Merlin comes into play and you have to pick out the traitor here, but there isn't too much here for me, at least.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've never really liked Resistance Avalon at all. And it doesn't really feel, if I felt like I was playing through that, I'd probably like it more. Like Shadows over Camelot, I like more.
Yeah, I own a copy of Avalon. It's the best version for me. I own a lot of copies of Resistance as well. But yeah, no doubt.
All right. Okay, next up we have number three, Rising Sun. It is Eric Lang's big medieval Japan game. But based, they're certainly samurai in the game, but it's certainly more focused on the kind of mythology of Japan than it is on like the actual life in feudal Japan. Versus number 14, Crusaders, Thy Will Be Done, from the now defunct Tasty Minstrel Games, in which you play as, you guessed it, Crusaders, knights moving out to spread the order, the Templar order. What do we got here? We've got like the mythological version with kind of poor research done versus Crusaders, which has always made me feel a little icky.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Wow. Like, yeah.
Just as a theme.
Crusades.
Yeah. It's an icky time. It is good representation of that icky time.
Yes.
Whereas Rising Sun is just a big bloated box of plastic.
But it's a bloated box of love, Anthony. So I'm going with Rising Sun.
Yeah, me too. I can't vote for Crusaders. But I just... Rising Sun is not my favorite. But at the same time, there are elements of it where you're like, you didn't even look this up. This is not what this... That one doesn't exist. What are you doing?
Box of love, Anthony. Box of love, man.
Box of love.
It's a box That's of true. Love.
I should love it more. I paid $250 for it, whatever that was.
Not bitter at all. Not bitter at all, folks.
No. All right. Next up, number seven, Yedo. Yes.
No.
This is recently deluxified.
Yes.
This is taking place in the city of Edo. At the time of the launch of the Tokugawa shogunate. And there's a lot of stuff going on in this game. It's not specifically about being a samurai, but that's certainly part of it. So you're trying to catch the shogun's attention and basically work your way up.
Yeah, the ladder. You're running missions, and it's often compared to Lords of Waterdeep, because they came out about the same time, but people should know Yedo came out first, so like it's the comparison's not fair because usually it's beaten on Yedo. Yedo is very good.
It is.
I like it a lot. Own a copy of it, not the deluxified super version, but the original version, because I'm OG that way.
You are OG that way. That's good. Yedo's going up against Citadels, and so again, kind of an abstracty version of medieval Europe, right? You have all these kind of you have your magicians and your thief and your king and your warlord and your architect and your merchants and etc. It's a great game. It's a lot of fun. I think it's the most I like any game that's this type of game.
Sure.
Like the hidden roles and like stabbing each other all the time. There's just a lot of games I don't like that do that. This one, for whatever reason, is charming to me.
Yeah.
With that Bruno Faiduti pixie dust on it. It doesn't really feel like the theme, though. This kind of comes back to like the what we were talking about before.
Yeah, Citadels is so good because you're targeting the characters in the game that are chosen from basically like, you know, a drafting. So instead of, you know, choosing a particular character to try to knock out, and you're building a city, so there's some tableau building and some special abilities that goes out, but really the selection of the characters is really what's key in the game. So it is certainly more of an abstract kind of city builder with some of the main players in that kind of medieval theme, but it is certainly, in my opinion, the best of it as far as a social deduction game is concerned. I own both copies of it and I've always loved it. So, but as you said, Yedo is certainly absolutely positively more true of thematic gameplay. So I don't want to do it because Citadels is one of my favorite games of all time, typically on my top 100, but Yedo.
All right. It's ditto.
All right. Yedo moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have number 2, Paladins of the West Kingdom, which is admittedly not actual Europe, but the kind of
knight kind of stuff,
fancified version that Shem Phillips came up with of the West Kingdom. But it's West Francia, and they're facing Vikings, and there's Byzantines from the east, and like it's basically Europe, right? Medieval times. And you're playing against these paladins. You're trying to build up and protect the land against the invaders. Up against number 15, Sekigahara. So this is almost a more political take on everything, which samurai are inherently political. They're often, many of them are officials. And so you are dealing with the Battle of Sekigahara in 1600 that led to the Tokugawa Shogunate. So you are going up against, you are either Ishida Mitsunari or Tokugawa Ieyasu, and you're trying to like relitigate that war. So it's a war game, effectively, and trying to determine who's going to come out on top at this very pivotal time in Japanese history. So it's a big GMT game. It's long. It's 2 players only. It's wood blocks. So it's a very specific type of game, but it's also very good. Versus Paladins, which does a good job of kind of characterizing and representing that everything about that Western European theme.
Well, Anthony, again, one is more of a serious historical take and one is more of a fanciful quasi historical elements kind of thing. But again, thematic gameplay, I want to unify to Japan, Anthony. Sekigahara.
Ooh, okay. That's interesting. I think I have to go with you on that. Yeah, I thought you were going to go with Paladins, and then I assumed that the readers would also go with Paladins. I was loose, but Sekigahara, yeah, let's go with.
All right, well, there's your biggest upset of the day. Number 15 taking number 2. Sekigahara moves on to the next round.
All right, so that moves on to our last chunk of stuff. We've got Vikings versus Cowboys. This is a fun one. There's a lot of really good games in here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kick it off with number 1, Vikings, just Vikings, Michael Kiesling's long out of print Vikings,
mm-hmm.
Which I have a copy of somewhere, somehow.
Which is now out of print.
It's very out of print. Yeah. Yes. I've tried to find it before because mine's pretty battered. And this is a kind of a drafting type of game, and where you're taking these Vikings and building out these different islands, and then the different colors of Vikings represent different things they can do, right? Going on voyages or pillaging or growing stuff, because not all Vikings were pillagers. Versus Wild Tiled West, which is a new game from Paul Denon, who is the kind of major designer at Direwolf and the designer behind things like Moon Imperium and Clank. And this is a Wild West game in which you are laying out different tiles and building towns, right? It's a big tile laying game. There's polyominoes involved. Lots of polyominoes involved. I don't own a copy of this game. I thought I would like it. I did demo it. I've tried it. I've played it a couple times. And it's definitely in my wheelhouse, but a little lighter than I would expect or enjoy. But it's a cool experience. Honestly, it reminds me of Clank's take on deck building, where I'm like, this is cool, and I love how it's different. That's a little lighter than I would like. So, yeah. Those are my takes.
Yeah, I think both are abstracted versions thematically. The one I'd rather play is Vikings, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Vikings for sure for me. It's in my top 100. Mm-hmm. I love this game. I wish it would come back. This would be huge on Kickstarter.
It would.
For me, at least.
Certainly. All right.
All right. Next up, we have number 8, Bang the Dice Game. Cowboys shooting each other.
It's true.
And that's it. You roll dice. It's Yahtzee-ish, but then there's dynamite that blows you up.
Yeah, but also there's different roles and stuff that...
Yeah. There's a lot going on here. And the thing about this game is, like, you can play with up to 8 people. Mm-hmm. The more people, the better. The more chaotic it is. There are hidden roles as well, like you said, that determine, like, you're trying to figure out who everybody is so that you can figure out who you're supposed to be shooting. So it's like a very active dice version of Werewolf. Very Wild Westy. And so that's going up against Champions of Midgard, which is the, you know, we talked about Yeto being like Lords of Waterdeep, but with samurai. This is like Lords of Waterdeep, but with Vikings. But there's dice involved. So you go on these missions, you roll the dice that you're kind of accumulating to take out these objectives that you're facing. So yeah, good one.
100% agree. I think they're both good, fun games. I think one of the surprising things, you know, as far as the game's concerned, especially if you want to get a number of people to the table and have all those different roles and just have a lot of good fun at the table, bang, the dice game for me, Anthony.
All right. For me, it's Champions of Midgard. Right. I think it's just a really fun, clever, accessible Viking game.
Mm-hmm. All right. That leaves it up to the fans, Anthony. What do they have to say?
All righty. So between Bang the Dice Game and Champions of Midgard, 74% choose Champions of Midgard.
All right. Champions of Midgard moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have number 5. Eric Lang's back. Blood Rage.
Blood Rage.
It's coming for us. It's you got a drafting game, you've got Ragnarok, you got big monsters on the board. It's Vikings, but also, you know, Norse mythology. So it's everything I said about Rising Sun, except I like it a lot more.
You don't say.
Yeah. And then number 12 is Pioneer Days. And so Pioneer Days is a dice rolling game in which you are kind of building out your little town or tableau of different things. That's all, you know, cowboy and Wild West themed. The dice you play have different actions on them that correspond to different things you're able to do in this town. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of, it just falls on that like midweight Euro thing that I think everybody, like there's a million of those and they come out all the time. So just kind of skidded by, but it's cute artwork. It was plays very quickly. Had a lot of interesting, ideas in it and, just kind of disappeared because it was a tasty minstrel game that didn't do great. So.
Aww. Makes a lot of sense. Good games. But Anthony, Blood Rage.
It's Blood Rage. Blood Rage. That's I like Pioneer Days fine. And I owned it for a little while, but Blood Rage.
Alright. Blood Rage moves on to next round.
Alright. Next up, number 4, Colt Express. We got cowboys. We got different people related to cowboys. They're jumping on this train. It's 3D. It's amazing. It's great. That you could get a DeLorean and put it back there from Back to the Future 3. It's a promo. It's great. going up against number 13, Gnar. Building a Viking crew. You have to build up your Viking band. You go on this different adventures and you're trying to, I don't know, figure out where you're going to explore. It's like a tableau builder type of thing in the set collection. Pretty light and abstract. Not abstract, but just it's a light game.
Yeah, this is a rough one because, again, they both kind of fit the same, you know, game weight space. Both are pretty fun. Obviously, one's more programming, one's more of that kind of lightweight kind of entry level. I'm going to go with Gnar, Anthony.
Gnar. I'm going to go with Colt Express. I love me some
programming
robbery. Apparently, yeah, Robo Rally and Colt Express. All right, we go to the voters and Colt Express.
All right.
That's 2/3 of the vote.
Colt Express moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have number 6, Carson City, which I know is a favorite of yours.
It is.
Worker placement with cowboys.
Worker placement with cowboys and varmints and outlaws and school teachers and a lot of different roles that you get to play as. As you battle against other worker placement on the table, and also as you build up your town with resources, your banks, and all the other kind of fun stuff. Great production, great gameplay, and a very vicious worker placement game. Lots of fun at the table there.
Yeah. So that's going up against number 11, Raiders of the North Sea, which is worker placement with Vikings.
It's true. I've played that as well. It's worker placement with Vikings, Anthony.
It is. Yeah. So which worker placement with whatever do you think is better? I'm going to go with whatever you say here, because I don't think I've played either of these.
I've played both of them. I mean, Race of the North Sea, just making a joke there, is a good game. It's not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. Again, I think it's one of Shem Phillips' best versions of this game. I played it not too long ago, and we reviewed it and such. Good game. But Carson City is a classic for a reason. The production is next level. The building of the town is unlike anything I've ever seen. And you really do play as the different characters. They all have special abilities. And you have shootouts. And people could take over your land. And the sheriff can get involved. So Cult Express. I mean, it's not Cult Express. It really is a very much detailed Wild Wild West game. So Carson City. All right. Agreed. So that means Carson City moves on to the next round.
All right. Next up, we have a very easy one, I think, at least from my perspective. Number 3, 878 Vikings, Invasions of England, a two-player asymmetrical war game kind of based on the 1776 system, but set in Europe, from Academy Games, one of my favorite two-player games, versus number 14, Doomtown Reloaded, which is, by all accounts, a very good kind of Midwestern-themed IP-style card game, but 878 Vikings, right? 878 Vikings?
I always think that's a phone number.
I know.
Like, yeah, it's 878 Vikings. Historical reenactment, two-player game, but you could play as four-player, and it still works really well. A lot of little modules that really open the game up. Doomtown Reloaded is a really damn good deck building game with a lot of different expansions and decks you can kind of play with, but 878 Vikings, like, Doomtown could stand, but not this battle here.
No.
All right, 878 Vikings moves on to the next round.
All right, this next matchup is gonna make you mad, but number 7, A Feast for Odin, we've talked about this at length. Uwe Rosenberg's most sprawlingest game.
Weirdly shaped food game.
Yep, weirdly shaped food game. So it's worker placement, but also polyomino laying, but also collection, but also tableau building. There's a billion things going on here. And for me, it comes together amazingly. And yeah, somewhere in there, your Vikings going on this epic journey. Love it. Versus number 10, Flick 'em Up, in which you are flicking around little bullets from your cowboys. You set up this little town and just flicking stuff all over the table. Clever, fun take on dexterity game with a Western theme.
I don't know if you want me to say it. I mean, they're both good games. One has weirdly shaped food and one has weirdly shaped bullets.
That's true. That's true.
So they're both weirdly shaped. Both a lot of fun out there. I don't know. Anthony, convince me it's A Feast for Odin. Thematically.
No, I don't want to.
No, thematically.
Thematically. I mean, so
is
I
it?
Mean,
is it?
It is. All okay. Right. So in A Feast for Odin, right, one of the core mechanics is that you are getting materials to build boats to be able to go out on journeys, right? You're Vikings. There are trading boats and there are attacking boats and whaling boats. So the various ways that Vikings would go out and interact with the ocean. And these are a huge part of the game. So you have to be able to get these boats. You can play the game without them, but it's very difficult, especially if somebody else does it well. You need to have the right boats in the right order and have the right actions to be able to go out and to plunder and to capture on this separate board, the plunder, which is really weirdly shaped stuff. I think the other stuff's weirdly shaped. This stuff's super weirdly shaped. And you get things like crowns and crosses and shields and all sorts of cool stuff. But then when you're ready to migrate your people, get off of this terrible rock that you live on and move on, you have to give up the boat, right? Which costs a bunch of stuff because you are now leaving. And now there's fewer people to feed because you're gone. You've gone to the New World. You've gone to Greenland or wherever you've moved to. So like the theme is definitely there. It's just surrounded by a bunch of mechanics, which I love. So either way, it's great.
All right. A Feast for Odin moves on to the next round.
Did it. I'm positive our listeners probably supported me on that one, but I don't want to look just in case. All right, last but not least, we have number two, Western Legends, which is the big sandbox cowboy game, which I've actively avoided because everybody told me, is like, oh, if you don't like sandbox games, you won't like this. I'm like, I don't like sandbox games, so I've not played it. Up against number 15, PAX Vikings, which is, I think, the most recent PAX game, in which you are playing a historical strategy game of trade and diplomacy set in the 10th century with Vikings. So less about the stabby and more about like trade and diplomacy of that time of like basically managing the seas. I don't even know here. I just don't. PAX Vikings did not do it for me at all, but there's no way I would enjoy Western Legends.
I mean, I've played both. And
okay, good. I'm glad.
Both are okay. I mean, they're not the best. Both are okay. Western Legends has its elements to it, as far as, like you said, the sandbox game where you could do a lot of different things. But as far as gameplay goes and thematic essence, more or less, it's very soap opery. Whereas PAX Vikings is really, you're actually doing things that make a difference in the game. So I'm going to go with PAX Vikings.
I'm going to go with what you said. All right. I would like this. Again, I didn't love it, but I really don't think I like Western Legends. Just looks kind of schlocky.
The sandbox element of it is fine, and you can do different things, but it is not as, it's not spaghetti Western, which I think is what they were looking for. It just doesn't feel that way. It just feels like I'm kind of running off and doing my own thing. You're doing your own thing, and every once in a while we come into contact. So, PAX Vikings. Big upset. Moves on to the next round.
All right. That's it, folks. That's all 32 matchups for this week. So if you want to hear the rest, come back next week. And we're going to do the rest. You should. I hope so. So we're going to go through the remaining 32 games from the four different brackets, and we're going to whittle them all the way down to the top number one game, and therefore theme. Whichever game it is, that theme is the best. So
it's true. That's how that works.
Whichever one of these comes out on top, that's what we're doing.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
I hope it's not zombies. But other than that, we're good.
Could be.
Good zombie games in there.
I was thinking also, Aquasphere. The octopi in Aquasphere. Could they have been aliens?
Oh, they could have been aliens.
Because they do more than just normal octopuses do.
Yeah. They're very smart.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just let's all leave that at that and just try to contemplate that. Yeah,
I'll think on it.
Yeah. Because if on Mars could have robots and aliens, then Aquasphere could have aliens and robots as well. That would be a great mashup.
Yeah.
All right. That's everything for this time. Until next time, this is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
And we'll save you all a seat at the table. Take care, everyone.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save